You're listening to the DOL Pod, brought to you by the Office of Digital and Online Learning at Howard University.
Greetings, and thank you all for joining our DOL Pod today. Today, I'm very excited for what we're going to talk about. Before we get into that, let me first introduce myself. I am Dr. Morris Thomas, and I serve as the Assistant Provost for Digital and Online Learning, as well as the director of our Center for Excellence in Teaching, Learning, and Assessment. We call that CETLA at Howard University. And I'm also an associate professor of Educational Policy and Leadership Studies and have a lecturer appointment in the School of Business. And I am happy to have with me here Dr. Sonia Jones. And she will tell you more about herself in just a moment. But today we are in our National Distance Learning Week, and you may be listening to this during this week or thereafter, but our focus is on the intersection of AI and online learning, more readily generative AI. So we're excited to delve into the topic today to discuss debunking myths around AI. Our guest today, Dr. Sonia Jones. And Dr. Jones, welcome to the DOL Pod. Please tell us more about yourself and what you do here at Howard University.
Great. Hi, everyone. I'm Sonia Jones. I'm an associate professor and also the program coordinator for the Higher Education Leadership and Policy Studies program here at Howard. I'm in my sixth year, and my primary research focus as of late is AI in education and how it's being used and whether it is being used at all. But I'm also very interested in equity, so the digital divide. And the nexus between equity policy and practice. So my interest in AI is actually really, really new. I am a novice. I am learning. But I have a fire under my feet about AI. I used to be on Team Resistance. As you all know, we grew up in the era of the Terminator movies. We were taught AI was dangerous, it was going to take over the world. And so I always just fancied myself as someone who would be on the team of resistance to the very end, until I started to really pay attention to the research and listen to some of the experts that are really doing some fascinating things with AI education, reaching a lot of different diverse learners that normally we struggle with. And I've seen how it's impacting change and learning in higher education. And also see that the former resistance mindset that I had is very pervasive, which is going to be problematic for higher education as a whole if we want to be in the business of preparing students for the workforce. So I am now the newly inaugural CETLA AI ambassador. And all that means is that I'm here to raise awareness and create space for more education regarding how faculty can use AI in their teaching and learning and the benefits of using AI in teaching and learning.
I love that you painted the picture of putting yourself in a learning posture. You consider yourself a novice, which all of the certifications and trainings you've done, you know a lot more than a lot of our colleagues in higher education. And you, which is okay, but I like that you centered yourself in that way, because the reality about any technology, and I don't think we use the term the terminology technology a lot when talking about generative AI or AI, but AI is another technology. And it is a tool. And with any technology, they advance rapidly. And when you work in the technical field, you should have that learning mindset, because things are always evolving and growing. And it is funny that in the higher education sector, generally speaking, and I want any colleagues to feel attacked, there's been kind of a notion of a very much right or wrong, I know what I know, a perfection, or even what I would call, some might call it a fixed mindset, as opposed to this lens of continuously evolving, adapting, and growing. And most other industries do that very easily and very readily. So I love that you said that you were a resistor, but now you're seeing the benefits and you're open to it. So with that, I want to get into some of these myths and debunking these myths that might be having some of our colleagues anxious, fearful, or resisting to at least just have an open mind to explore. We in higher education, many of us have the PhD terminal degree, which is a research degree. We should be explorers. We should be people who want to look and look at things and at least see what it means for our areas and our disciplines. What are some common misconceptions about AI in online learning in particular, or just AI in general? What's some common misconception?
I do think there's a fear that AI is going to replace human beings in the academy. And so you see the shock and the fear when Morehouse announced that they will have AI graduate assistant instructors, teaching assistants. And so people are like, look at there, you see, it's happening. But, you know, one thing people need to be aware of is that we are at a place in time where it's widely recognized within the AI community that we very much still need human guidance to discern when to use AI, how to use AI, and how to use it ethically. And so we need instructors and faculty to guide the implementation of AI so that students know when to use it properly. Also, how do you learn certain concepts with AI? There are certain points where you need a human hand, you need human conversation, you need interaction. And so I don't think we're nearly in the place, if ever, where AI is going to completely take over. So that is a misconception. I think there's also this fear, and I think one of the main driving resistance factors to AI in higher education is the perception that it will enable cheating, that it will make students more passive learners, that there's going to be a general decline in engagement with the material and critical thinking. And recently, Stanford University actually published a study that showed that cheating has actually not gone up with the advent of AI. And if we want to be honest about this conversation about cheating, cheating has always been here. And so if a student is inclined to cheat, they will find ways to cheat with or without AI. And so this fear isn't really based on empirical evidence. What we do know is that with the prevalence of AI, students are curious. They want to use it to the best of their ability so that they can engage in the material in more lively ways. And so they may be using it improperly, but not necessarily with malintent. And so this is really an opportunity for faculty to step in and say, this is when you use AI, this is how you use AI, and this is when you shouldn't use AI because it's not going to facilitate your learning. And so we're not actually going to close the door to cheating if we ban AI for several reasons, one of which AI is integrated into almost everything now. And so it's very hard to ban AI. But if you ban AI, or you have this policy where you won't even engage in the topic of AI and allow exploration, then you cut off opportunity for learning, both for yourself, but for your students, on how to properly use it so that they aren't unintentionally doing things that can be misconstrued or engage in outright cheating. So it opens up a conversation for talking about what is cheating, when do you use AI properly, and how do you do it ethically? And one last thing, I do think people associate AI with specific platforms like ChatGPT, and that is one form of AI, but there are many forms of AI. And I think the more people learn and explore and play with AI, they would recognize that it is interwoven in the fabric of a lot of the things that they already use. For example, Google has a lot of AI processes embedded in it. And so you can't really ban Google. Just learning things like that about what is AI and how diverse it is will go a long way towards having an informed conversation about how to use it.
Great. Thank you so much. Those were all very rich points. Made me think about a lot of things. One thing that I want to say that I gather from that, really, one myth about AI is that it's new.
Yeah.
And AI has been out for a while. And another myth about it is that we have banned it or not used it, but we've been leveraging it and learning for a long time. Mm-hmm. In some ways, the calculator is AI. Spell check is AI. So you were talking about the correct usage. And that is really what I think is so important, is that we have to really decipher between the misuse of it. And in many instances, I think what higher education is grappling with in a lot of ways is the emergence or the advent of the large language models,
mm-hmm.
and how that impacts the learning. And I want to say this, I know there's a lot of, hopefully a lot of different listeners, and I've said this in many panels and I've heard a lot of panels, and I always mention that in the learning context, these are what I call learning environments. And when you think of any environment and you think of misconduct, or even we think about living environments, we say crime in those environments, typically environments that are that have deficiencies or have less resources have more likely to have more misconduct or more crime. And so mm-hmm. I think if we think about this from an environmental standpoint, if we really resource our learning environment, that includes some of the things you were mentioning about as far as understanding how to properly leverage these things, being resourced or learned and which tools to use and how to instruct the students, I think that when those environments become more resourced, it would decrease some of that likelihood of the misuse or misconduct. And so I submit that to our listeners to give that some thought. How do I really, really well resource my environment so that I am not as worried about, or that my environments are not so subjected to the academic misconduct? Thinking about online learning, how can AI or can AI be used for the personalization of online learning?
Yes, I think, you know, that is one of the benefits of AI, is that there are so many tools available right now for so many different types of purposes, but also different types of learners. And so you have AI platforms that are more visual, more auditory, more for brainstorming for students that need help with brainstorming or thought partnerships. There's tutoring platforms for students who just need to brush up on certain skills. You have subject-specific AI where they'll actually help the student engage in learning about specific types of material that is related to course discipline, core concepts, and review. So there's all sorts of different types of platforms for different types of learners. And I do think when incorporated properly, they can serve as support, academic support for students' learning. But again, you need an engaged instructor who's open to facilitating those conversations. Or, you know, and if students are struggling in the subject matter and the instructor refuses to entertain the possibility of using AI, they still may seek out these support services and platforms because they're an aid. And so we have to recognize how those things can be incorporated to facilitate student learning. But yeah, I definitely think AI offers new possibilities, especially for diverse learners who may not be getting the most they can out of traditional instruction methods.
So another myth or question that's out is that AI will ruin privacy, and we won't be able to control these privacy issues and things of that nature. What have you found around that topic of privacy when it comes to privacy concerns and AI?
Yeah, I do think there are some things that need to be considered with AI because it is, in a way, a lot of it's run on machine learning. And so whatever you put into the machine, some AI is actually using that information. And so it does raise questions of when are you making certain information a part of the public discourse that shouldn't be. And so I do think that's something that you have to consider and explore, and only through engaging in knowledge communities and professional development trainings that address these things can you start to really grapple with these issues about what is the real privacy concern, especially for your field and your topic specific assignment. And if you have this blanket concern without any information about whether it's realistic or a real risk, then you kind of are shooting in the dark when you're making policy. You don't want to do that. So the first step to really tackling some of these issues that may be challenges or they may not be challenges, depending on all of these factors, is to get educated, is to learn more about AI. And so that's where I think we need the most engagement, is getting people who have these fears more involved, more training, so that they know for themselves and their subject matter when these are real concerns and how to address them.
You mentioned concerns and issues, and you were talking about the privacy, which leads to another buzzword I always hear about AI, and that's ethics.
Yeah.
So that ethics are, I would say the myth, if I put it in my words, was that like ethics are problematic or ethics wouldn't be present in AI. Is that a myth? What truths are there around ethics and AI? And then when also across learning modalities, particularly for online learning.
Yeah, I mean, AI is not perfect. And so that is another misconception, is that AI is objective, it's without bias, it never makes mistakes. AI is human created, and it relies on a lot of human input to produce its results. And as you know, humans are fallible, they're biased. They have a lot of, you know, isms that get incorporated into the algorithm. So we have to be constantly on guard about the biases in the system and also the incorrect information. This has been tested time and time again. There are just some AI programs that are spitting out outright non-facts or bad information. And so in order to be discerning about which AI to use, whether the information is correct or not, or whether you need to triangulate so you could corroborate the information, again, you need to play around with it. You need to explore it. You need to see its limits and its possibilities. And you can't do that if you're not seeking to learn more about it. It's also bad to just blanketly label all AI as inherently biased or inherently wrong in terms of falsification of information. There are good programs, there are good algorithms, there are bad algorithms, and there are constantly tweaking these systems to make them better, but they're definitely not perfect. And also, this raises the issue of the pipeline about who's creating AI. We are currently in a precipice where AI is exploding and the digital divide is getting wider, frankly. And so you have people capitalizing on this moment in time where AI is exploding, creating more platforms, more tools, but who's creating these tools, these platforms, these algorithms? We need more people of color. We need more representation from marginalized persons, marginalized communities that can really critically look at these algorithms and contribute to the machine learning in a way that corrects for the bias. And so we can't do that if we ban AI and we're not having conversations about how to improve that pipeline. So how can we contribute to creating a better pipeline so there's more representation and less bias in these systems? We have to have faculty who encourage it. So faculty really play a key role here in creating a new and better environment for better AI that's more inclusive, less biased, and more factual.
You mentioned a few things about the accuracy and factual and dependable aspects of AI. So we've focused a lot kind of on our colleagues and from an educator standpoint. I'm thinking about our students right now. And so for the students who may be listening or for those educators who might be able to pass this information on to their students, there is a myth out there that AI is trustworthy and perfect and that you can just put a question in or put a prompt in or ask it to write something and include citations or things of that nature, and that it is going to be dependable and you don't know work is to be done and voila, have what you need. So can you speak to that myth, and let's help our students and our learners out there, or educators, to make our learners aware. Can you speak to that myth?
Yeah. So one of the critical hallmarks of being in the academy is to check your sources and get corroboration. And you would even do this with a peer review article you cited, right? Who else is saying this thing that you are citing, that you are paraphrasing? How can this be corroborated? What is the evidence? And so it's really crucial that students don't just rely on AI for all the answers, not only for the reasons we just listed, that it is fallible, that it is human made. We also want to adopt habits that prepare us for the workforce, and that includes fact checking. Whatever job you're training to be in, you're going to be expected to be competent and proficient in that job. And part of being proficient in that job is vetting all of your sources, that you're not over relying on any one source for information, that you're pulling from multiple areas, and that you're corroborating the source for inconsistencies, for contradictions, for incomplete information. And then sometimes, you know, the source being cited isn't even the right source. So you want to make sure you are doing your due diligence and making sure that you're citing correct information. So that is very important for any tool, even if it's not AI.
Absolutely. You talked about sometimes it's not the correct source. Sometimes it isn't even a source at all. Yes. There is the terminology that's used in the AI sphere that's called hallucinations.
Yes.
So AI will literally just make up things.
Yeah.
And so it's that's another thing that brings us back to the first question about the ability for it to be replaced, you know, to replace people. Mm. Like, it's not dependable enough and strong enough to be, because of the accuracy, you know. So it with that misnomer, we shouldn't be as worried. We should want to be informed, but not from a place of anxiety or fear, because it's literally, it needs the input, and it's going to take, at least right now, the human element to decipher and make sure that it is accurate and what's needed and appropriate, et cetera. So as we kind of wrap up our conversation, we could talk about this, you know, all day, of course.
Yeah.
But what is one thing or a few things, your last words that you really want to share, or your true thoughts of where you've come to at this point in your exploration of AI that you want to share with our listeners?
I just want to share that we're all in a place of learning and growth. And, you know, no matter what your level of contact or experience with AI is, it is okay to ask questions because this thing is evolving every day. And I've talked to people who are experts in this field, and they still are in shock at the way it's exploding. And also, they are running the catch up to constantly. So everybody's in a place of learning right now. And this is a moment where we can really make an impact on where we stand in this landscape. And I think Black people of color, scholars of color have an opportunity here to really make an impact in how we learn, who has input into the algorithms, into the learning machines, and closing this digital divide. And if we really want to prepare our students for the future, we have to be prepared as well. And so this is an opportunity for learning and growth, and I hope people seize upon it. And I hope people join the SETLA Faculty Scholar AI community. It's a new community, and it's just a platform, a space to share knowledge, to ask questions. And it's available on Discord. It's also available on Canvas, and there are links posted on SETLA's site. So we hope you engage in this community and take this opportunity to learn more.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Jones, for being here and for sharing that. And I really love the call of action that you did specifically to Black scholars and scholars, brown scholars and scholars from underrepresented groups, because many times those are the voices that are left out of these large language models, these algorithms and things of that nature. And so that then is going to have a snowball effect when it comes to our learners who fall in those categories as well. So that's an awesome call to action, and also the call to action for them to get involved. Join scholar communities like the SETLA AI Faculty Scholars Community so that you can share your resources, learn from your colleagues, and we can continue to grow and move with this, what some might call disruptive technology, so that we are well prepared and we can continue down this vein. So thank you all, listeners. Again, thank you, Dr. Jones. And thank you, listeners, for joining our DOL pod on the debunking the myths of AI as we consider the intersections between AI and online learning. Thank you so much.
Thank you.